It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than all you bitches shaking that ass on the dance floor.
Couldn't possibly be.
It is. You can join our chat room, Denpan. Go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, watch us on Facebook on the Davin's Den page. Audio is superior on davincomedy.com. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Yes, hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
The whole gang is here-ish. On the show, in turbulent air, a man gets kicked off a flight for a mask with a message. Neo thinks you women are the reason there's so much misogyny in music. School Fools and the Town of Eden is angry at a principal who loves Eddie. Wright said Fred is too sexy for Jews in Nazi news. Brand new romance scam numbers in Scam Busters and in Scamming Scammers. We check with fake Davin after and Michelle after their round of cyber sex. I had to check back. What did we do last week? It just says in the blurb, oh, they had cyber sex. Oh, those scamps just doing what bullshitters do.
What bullshitters and non-bullshitters
absolutely
do.
Absolutely. All right. So let's start it off with a little something different today. I got a text, an urgent text from Joe Curry.
Oh, my.
Please. Please, clear time for You Stink. Apparently, Mr. Curry in the 2 weeks we were off was wrong, and he won't stand for it no more.
I want to hear the tea.
All right, well, let me play the little bumper, and then you can hear away.
You stink.
Joe, what did the mean man do to you now?
Well, my You Stink this week is about people that don't know what they're talking about. All right.
Hey, wait a second. There's a show with three of those people.
What do you think you were doing tonight?
Yeah. I didn't realize you were an expert in something.
But when you call people on something, people love to say shit, and then you call people on something. Now, basically from doing our show for years, I am used to being under scrutiny, fighting back, making people give examples why, calling people out when they say stuff. Now, the first example is Sunday morning. I had to go recycle my bottles. For the first time, I decided to collect all my bottles and go recycling. So I go in.
Well, by the way, Joe, very commendable, and I can only assume you did it because you needed spare change. But still, very commendable.
I did. I'll give a shit. But anyway, $17 too. But anyway, I go to Stop and Shop, and I walk into the recycling area, and apparently there's different machines for different cans, plastic, metal, aluminum. So I don't get this yet, and I'm getting pissed off. So there's a guy behind me, and he's like a big, you know, galoot like me. So he goes, you putting it in the wrong machine. And I'm like, let me get the fuck out of here. Let me just get the fuck out of here. And he's like, hey, bro, calm down, man. You know, I'm ready to go. Now, here's the thing with me that day, okay? I was pissed at the situation. I was in a very rare good mood.
Wait, hold on. I was pissed at the so being pissed off at the situation puts you in a good mood.
A rare good mood.
No, but me being in a good mood, I was pissed at the situation, but me in a decent mood, I was like kind of writing stuff off. So let me just get out.
So you handled it the way a normal human being would have handled it.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Now the guy As I'm walking away, the guy's still around. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's putting the bottles in. Now, I got to go. I got an attitude. But, and I walk back, and I go, I don't think you've moved on from this as well as I have. I go, I'm fine. You seem to still be upset. You told me to chill out, bro, and you seem upset. Is everything okay? I go, you got a lot of kids. You the Super Bowl. You probably had a Super Bowl. Did you lose playing the Super Bowl? You know, and you didn't cover the spread. Dude, just recycle your cans. And I'm like, no. You recycled. You ruined my recycling experience.
I'll never recycle again.
So, later that day.
Hold on. We can't move on from later that day yet. We'll get to later. We got to break that down. There's a lot to unpack there.
He ruined his recycling pleasure?
First of all, it's nobody else's fault but Joe's that he can't read cans, bottles, plastic. I mean, that's nobody else's.
Now, here's the thing. You're absolutely right. And I wasn't in a bad mood. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to get out of there is I decided that I'm going to have to go to someplace in the parking lot, grab some carts, and then sort out my shit. I wasn't pleased about it. I figured it would be just one machine. But hey, I get it. Let's get out of my way. And the guy got all upset.
Well, now here's the other part. This guy does not know dealing with moron etiquette. He should not have got unless he was legitimately going to help, which is fine. Go, hey man, let me help you with this. Here's what you got to do, which is valid. And depending on the day, Joe may have bitten off his hand or accepted the help, depending on the day. But to go at Joe in this way, nay.
No.
This is not what you do. Is when you have a moron in front of you, you look around if there's another normal like yourself, and you give a look and a little hand gesture. Like you don't say anything, but there's like, can you believe what's going on over here? And then you both nod and smile, and you take in the show. That's what you do. Yes. This guy completely fucked it up.
He did.
Right. So I questioned him, and it kind of, you know, it's like, just for psychos, you can't. I go, no, you ruined my experience. I'm moving on.
Because of that, Joe set a tire fire just to get back in Mother Earth.
Well, as you do.
I'll never recycle again. Burn it all!
Burn it down! Burn his bitch down!
I was gonna be a vegan and go green, but this guy pissed me off. Fuck Mother Earth.
I wish he was still there when I came back, because I had it down. I had everything separated. I kicked some recycling ass.
All you got to you just stand in front of the machine, plastic can, it's glass. It's not that hard.
No. You got to feed the can, and sometimes the machine, you got to make sure that they can read the barcode.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a can that read the barcode, but what you do is you put another can in, it will, and then you shove the one behind it, and then it goes right through. The machine yells at you and tells you got to slow down. I'm like, hey, fuck you, stupid recycling machine. You
know? Well, I mean, when it doesn't accept it, you just go inside and they give you the nickel back, Joe.
No, they don't know that. Stop and Shop, if you got a problem, they don't mean to help you.
No, you go to customer service in Stop and Shop. You go to customer service, you say the machine wouldn't take it, and they give you a nickel. Or
really?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank God I'm an expert in something, apparently.
I have not done this yet.
Well, there you go.
But I've learned that there are some on, like, the Poland Spring bottles, there's a little red label. And if the red label's on it, for some reason, it doesn't take. So you got to leave them out.
Because that was probably not from New York or a city that does recycling. That might have been in New Jersey, Poland Spring bottle of water.
That's where the learning curve comes in. I get acclimated pretty quick.
Well, you know, Joe, again, I hate to bring reading into it. But when you look at these bottles, they tell you which states you get the nickel back in.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have a date, then you don't get a nickel back.
And then they put it in encryption writing. You could barely read it.
No, it's very... Listen, my eyesight's going...
Delaware, New Jersey. Is that a Y or an N? No.
New Jersey doesn't do this. They don't give you shit. So it's always New York.
No, but you get charged. You get charged, like, say you buy something for a dollar, a bottle for a dollar.
Uh-huh.
You get charged $1.05.
Not
in New York.
In New York.
Right. So then you get the nickel back. In New Jersey, you get just charged a dollar because they don't. They just want you to recycle out of the goodness of your heart.
Right. But if you live close to New York, the same distributor brings to New Jersey. So you buy it for the dollar in New Jersey and you recycle it in New York and you get the nickel you never paid. Aha!
Look at you. Look at Pip gaming the system. This is the criminal mind you needed access to.
This. That's how I work it.
She's working on a whole different level than you, Joe.
Well, you know, she'll get her nickel back after spending about
$30
in gas and toll.
Well, you have a point there, too.
So later that day, I got a text from Joe Cumier, and he goes, "If you're not doing anything, I'm playing an acoustic gig down in Port Jefferson. So you're free coming down." So I'm like, "You know what? I was cleaning around the house. I could use a break." So I go down to get a cocktail. It was nice. You know, I'm there hanging out watching. So I take a picture of Joe playing, you know, and this guy goes, and Joe's wearing a Sons of Anarchy shirt, t-shirt, sweatshirt, you know, and he's playing and stuff like that. So this guy writes, "Oh, look at that loser shirt that he's wearing," and it's like, "And what a loser playing a gig." And I write back to the guy, I go, "Sons of Anarchy is a pretty cool show." And I go, "It's a decent playing gig for you know, a Sunday afternoon."
Hold on. Let me stop you right here. Why are you replying to every fucking moron in social media? Who cares?
Oh, I'm not done yet.
I understand. I know you're just getting warmed up. But why are you replying?
Because here's the deal. Okay? This is where I'm going. You question people. You don't go, "Fuck you, man." You question them.
No. When I'm scrolling social media, I never question the Sons of Anarchy sweatshirt. Why? Because I don't give a shit. And let alone, why would I type it? Why would I stop whatever the hell I'm doing? And I'm not doing anything, but why would I stop to fucking inquire about a shirt from a show that's 6 years old? If I don't like the shirt, I can keep that to myself.
Because there was no basis in what he was saying. I mean, look, if you tweet something to bust my balls, or if Dennis tweets something to bust my balls, there's a lot there.
There's a lot of balls to bust.
Some I'm guilty of. But when somebody tweets something that just doesn't make sense, so I reached out, I go, "Why would Sons of Anarchy was a pretty cool show?" And I go, "And it's a decent gig on a Sunday, why would he be a loser?" So if the guy writes back, if the guy writes back, "Oh, if you guys are going to be all sensitive," I go, "To tell you the truth, him and I are two of the most nastiest, vile people you'd ever want to meet, which stops nothing to rip each other apart." And I go, "But you don't, you're not making sense." I wanted Dennis to call him and give him some lessons, you know?
All right, here's the difference between me and Joe. Joe obviously is not. Does not understand social media because months ago I posted a picture of my aquarium, the one with the clown loaches, the big orange and black ones in there.
Yeah.
And they were all eating and swimming and everything. Got a lot of nice comments. The fish is like 25 years old. A lot of nice comments. One person put, "Oh, something like, I can't believe the fish is in a tank that small."
Yes.
Okay, I could have responded, "Well, actually, it's a wide tank. It's wider than it looks. So even though you might think, you know, it's a good sized tank, maybe he should be in a bigger one." I could have responded, "No, man, it's a lot wider. Why are you commenting on this? Why can't you be positive?" No, it's a social media asshole. I move on with my day. I don't have to. I have real assholes to deal with in my face. I don't need to deal with this person who I don't know. What's wrong with you? It's an opinion. There's no right or wrong. He doesn't like the show you and Kumia do. Who the fuck cares?
No, it wasn't a show. It was Joe playing an acoustic. Sons of Anarchy is not a gay shirt. It's cool. And Joe's playing an acoustic gig in a nice restaurant.
I saw the picture. First of all, I don't know what's a good gig and not a good gig. I'll tell you after I get paid. So depending on what Kumia pays. I mean, the picture's him by himself. Does it look great? No, but I wouldn't stop my fucking day to be a douche. And if I'm in Joe's situation, I wouldn't stop my day to respond to a douche. Who has this type of time? This is what I don't have the type of time to be an asshole like this, and I don't have the type of time to quote unquote correct assholes like this. I wish I had this time.
It was a rare instance that I had the time.
You could have been doing scammer clips. This is what happens when you have free time on your hands.
The scammer clips. Well, here's the deal. You're calling me out on the scammer clips.
I'm not calling you out. Right? Yeah, I'm not calling you out. You said you had this time.
Here's the deal. This is where I get called out. I thought that I just sent them. And you write back and go, you sent them on the 10th. And I'm like, no way. And I looked and I'm like, I sent them on the 10th? That's 2 weeks ago. I didn't realize. Now, if you're calling me out on that, I'm not going to go, hey, fuck you. No, you're right. I can't be that stupid. I need to learn to read again. That's what I'm getting at. You know? I mean, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
At a point. What do you mean? I just said, you didn't.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do if, God forbid, you become famous? And then every asshole in the...
I don't think I would be able to handle it. That's why God makes me a nobody.
It's all part of his master plan. It's working.
I'm not even done yet.
Oh, well, there's more.
I go on Ant Show yesterday.
Okay.
And Ant Show was really fun. There was a lot of politics. Social commentary. We actually did one of. I brought up a story because it correlated into something he was doing. I brought up one of our stories. We discussed our story a little bit. So we did that, and it was, there was not a lot of jokes or bits. I mean, you try to be funny, but I'm not going overboard to do it. Blah blah blah. So there were a couple of people on Twitter, just a couple. Joe Curry is the unfunniest comic that they've ever had on Anthony's show. And I'm like, give me three reasons. Never heard back.
were you sitting there waiting for the feedback from this troll?
Three reasons.
No, I saw it on the train.
Yeah, why didn't you tag me on this? I would have given you the three reasons. You could have gone on with your day.
We don't need your help.
Apparently they do.
another guy writes, I saw Curry in Vegas. And in all four shows, he did the same material. And I wrote him back, and I said, because I'm doing a seven-minute guest spot, I go, there's not enough room to move it around. And then I thought about it, and I wrote back to him today, and I go, furthermore, I go, I'm going to teach you a lesson about comedy. There is a rhythm to having things, to the way you have set everything up. And everything was set up in a rhythm. You don't change it. Thank you. You know, and it's like...
Well, listen. Listen, man. I don't know, man. I don't. Everybody has their different thing. I never do the same show twice. Yeah, I mean, I'm always switching in material, taking out material, riffing and everything. But a lot of comics do go, this is the act, and this is what we're gonna do. I mean, there's not.
The matter was, I even corrected him because on that show, I did change things. I listen back to the sets. So I moved some stuff around from Friday to Saturday. So the guy was incorrect. If somebody's incorrect, you know, I want to straighten them.
It's an internet troll, you dipshit. They're just begging for attention, and you give it to them.
I know, but some guy wrote in some Reddit, Joe Curry is utterly forgettable. And I wrote back, seeing how you wrote this the next day, apparently I'm not.
See, now that's funny.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah. But it's like, I just want to be educational. So, yeah, that's the thing. I just, you know, people just say shit, and they say it wrong. I want to correct them, you know?
Okay.
When I was on John Jameson's show, and I said, you know, the genre of music instead of genre, and I still get my boss, Dennis Farrell wrote, I go, what is Dennis going to write? You can't be that stupid. And I wrote back, no, I can't be that fucking stupid.
Why wasn't I tagged in on this? You absolutely can.
Yeah. Also, when I was writing something to one of these guys on Twitter yesterday, some of the things were spelled wrong. And you can't spell worth a shit. It's pathetic. I wrote back to him and I go, now you got me. I spell like a fucking orangutan.
Oh, my God. Here's what you did. And this was probably not your goal. You made these losers' day by responding to them.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. Anybody who takes the time out of their day to be a douche on social media is a fucking loser.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to get a rise out of you.
Do you have the COVID?
I'm sorry?
Do you got the COVID? You're coughing like...
No, dry throat. Dry throat.
Cock. All right. Cock. 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 Lots of cock. Lots and lots of...
Stay in your lane, Joe.
A girl comic on Twitter, somebody must have been busting her balls about Iraq, and she's like, well, you write material, you go up in front of people, you do this, you know, fuck you, you know, which is what these guys are expecting. I'm like, no, I'm going to educate you, and maybe you'll come to governors if you still don't believe me.
Can you imagine dealing with the, okay, and we know what type of fans Anthony has. Can you imagine giving these people the time of day?
No.
I showed in, and I go, yeah. I go, they're assholes. He goes, you got to see what they write about me most of the time.
Yeah, because they're not bright. When we were on Anthony's original incarnation, first I eviscerated them toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
And then I fucking ignored them.
I have never seen such a roll of verbal bile on the feedback monitor.
Yeah, it was not like one... asshole. It was a cavalcade of assholery, just like and symbols.
And apparently now this is the fan base Joe feels the need to cultivate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, I'm done. You know, the only thing was, excuse me. Whether you're doing stand up, you're playing a show, you know, behind the keyboards or a guitar, whatever, you know how you did. And I had a good show yesterday. I had a very good show yesterday. So no. I did fine, you know. I know internally I did fine, you know. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I just found it amazing that we managed to cull Trucker Tom out of that cavalcade of misery that was on the screen. Because at least he would say funny things and, like, actually, you know, participate in what we were talking about. The rest of them. And then, and there was the trucker lady, too.
Lady Trucker. Both
happened to be trucker names, but they were both like participating, even if it was sometimes negative or, you know, commentary that was a little sharp, but at least they were participating instead of just spewing bile.
Well, I will share one of my reactions to something in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Slightly different approach slightly different than Joe. I mean, I get what Joe's saying. Joe wants to fucking put them in their place. But you got to understand, this is the internet. These are fucking internet trolls. Yeah. And Anthony's internet trolls are the trolliest.
Oh, my God.
But nobody rarely calls them on that.
Because they ignore them because they worry about real people with real opinions. No, no. They go, that's an asshole, and they move on with their day. That's how you respond. All right. So the other day at my daughter's high school, there was an anti-mask protest. So apparently it happened at four of the schools in the district. So parents brought their elementary school age children to the protest. So they pulled them out of school to protest. Now, in New York, where I live, the school districts have no control currently on whether the students have to wear masks or not. It is a state mandate from our governor. So even if a school district doesn't want the kids to wear masks, they can't. They have nothing to do with it because the state has decided that for the time being, the kids have to wear masks. Whether it's right, wrong, indifferent, whatever your opinion is, it doesn't matter. It's up to the governor.
Did the school kids come with a stockade of Tonka trucks?
No.
Oh.
So.
Can I stop for a second? That actually is a good line. It's got a huddle. That's a good line. We got it.
Thank you.
You got a little huddle on.
I got a huddle. Thank you.
A little huddle.
I feel like I'm
Pip,
being...
come here so I can pat you on the head.
I'm graded for 3 hours every week.
Not by me. But Joe's like, I'm keeping score. It's not just the internet trolls. Everybody's being graded now, motherfuckers. Joe's got a little clipboard and his whistle from his act that he does every fucking show. The same damn whistle with the same shrill tune. And we get it. Can't you write another whistle joke, you hack?
Only one.
Well, you see, Pip, there's a rhythm to the whistle blowing.
I wish he would branch out to yodeling.
you know, a real artist would branch out to yodeling, but we're stuck with this.
On his second album, he branched out to yodeling, and some of the fans didn't like it. They liked just the original
stuff. Well, Joe was trying to discover himself.
Yeah,
okay. You know, it takes a lifetime to write the first whistle hit, and then you're under the pressure. You got to come up with something new. So it's like, let me try this other thing. All the cool Dutchmen are yodeling, and I really like Ricola, so let me try it. And that's how we got the Yodel album by Joe Curry.
Man can't keep me down.
What'd you say?
That's what industry's looking
for. It is what industry. You know, I kind of feel Joe would be playing better acoustic gigs if he did not yodel. But he insists. He insists. He says, I'm an artist and I want to yodel. So
you can't cuff me from my train.
Yodeling is who I am.
The man can't keep me down.
No. So all right. So let me get this straight. And it wasn't violent or anything. Some of the kids that were in the school, they came outside with their parents, like on their lunch, whatever. I don't know what happened. But let me get this straight. I'm supposed to listen to you about children's welfare when you drag your young child to a fucking protest in the middle of the day, so they're missing schools and cold temperature, and you don't even know where the fuck to go to protest. If you want to protest, you have every right. Just do it up in Albany, where somebody who's making the decisions can fucking decide. And again, this is why I know the guy who is running for governor of Virginia lost. The Democrat lost because he stupidly said, well, you can't have you can't have parents making decisions for their children. And I've said, I get it. He shouldn't have said it.
Yeah.
But, and I understand why. We can have parents deciding, but we have to decide which parents. if your way of making a statement about what's right for your kids in school is by dragging your elementary school child out in the cold and you don't even know where you're supposed to go to protest, I hope you wrap a mask around your neck and hang yourself. You fucking moron, you. And that's not even a pro or anti pro.
School board
has nothing to do with it, Joe. Joe, the school board has nothing to do with it in New York. They can't do anything. Now they have been putting out feelers like what to do should the mandate get repealed, and that's fine. I have a feeling they're going to make masks optional. Yeah. Like I think that's the way they're going to go.
If you think that you can't do anything, I mean, how many parents and kids were there?
I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
just a rough estimate. I'm not going to hold you to it.
There wasn't a good amount. It wasn't a ton, but a good amount because it was across four different schools.
More than 25 to 40.
It was more than 25 with the kids.
All right.
With the kids.
The only thing I'm saying, the only thing you could say on that on the other end is that, well, it's the law why you're out there. Because if they see parents/voters, displeasure, these politicians note that this could be a problem coming up in November.
But it's up to one politician.
One of it, they could maybe reverse their decision.
No, it's up to one politician, and she's in Albany, and they're not even protesting at the school board.
I understand that, but theoretically, it's one party. It's a party, and if this seems to be something that would be more schools geared against a politician from a party, the people in that party might relax the rules because it could be a problem for that party come November election.
No, what's happening is they're trying to politicize everything. The school, I don't know what the school board is, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat, but for the most part, they've done a good job. But if you want to go to a school board meeting, go to a fucking school board meeting. Don't drag your kid out of school. We know what's best for our children. Well, apparently, them getting an education isn't one of those fucking things, you dumbass. I mean, I can't take you seriously when you're concerned about your kids, when you're dragging out your 8-year-old in the cold to stand outside and hold a fucking poster board that you made up. You're fucking stupid. You're stupid. Whether we should be wearing masks or not wearing masks, it's irrelevant at that point. Because I'll talk to somebody who keeps their kid in fucking school and wants to make a point. Because you're a moron.
Oh, bundled up.
I don't know. I'll tell you what, Joe. Well, you know, well, this is about layers. I mean, you know, the mask is a layer. You know where they can wear less layers? Inside the fucking school. Stupid morons. I mean, this is
I wonder what the effect of having the mask on the kids has been.
Maybe. My daughter wants to wear a mask. I think it's individual. I think much like COVID, it affects people differently. I'm sure, you know, I'm walking around without a mask. My wife and daughter wear a mask. It's a choice. You know, it's a choice. You know, we were said the we were told if you get vaccinated, you won't spread it to other people. That turns out not so much the truth. So you know, they were wrong about that. You know, it's a novel virus. But whatever. I don't want to get into the whole mask thing. That wasn't the point of this.
No.
It was just stupid fucking parents. That's not even stupid. Because they don't want to wear masks. I'm not saying that's the stupid part. I'm saying dragging your kid out of school, a protest for the kid's welfare, you know, and not protest. Go protest Governor Hochul. Protest to your heart's consent. Or, you know, but here's the funny thing. I remember when the libs were protesting everywhere. And remember when all the conservatives say, well, we can't protest in the middle of the day because we all have jobs.
Yeah.
They don't say it when it's their own out there. It's the funniest fucking thing.
That's
the
true.
Hypocrisy. Like I said, protest all you want. I don't have a problem with it. Now, up in Ottawa, I don't think it's cool to shut down a fucking city because, you know, people are relying on that stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, you want to protest? Have at it. I don't care. It's your right. Just fucking be smart about it. That's all I'm saying. All right. So that was the one thing. And by the way, Hochul says she's going to make she's going to revisit this at the beginning of March.
Mm-hmm.
And this was last week. So again, what are
you
doing?
Do you think, like I said, you know, maybe she'll, you know, because she's got to relax the other mandates, but maybe a little bit of it is that it might be this, a demonstration at this school, maybe some other schools. In the state where they're like, you know what, this might cost us votes, so we might have to rethink this.
No, I don't think, no, Hochul's a Democrat. She's going to fucking win because she's going to carry Manhattan.
Yeah.
She's going to win. I don't think Hochul gives a shit. But like I said, if you wanted to get her attention, go to fucking Albany and do it. You have a right. You could protest there.
Yeah, I mean, they do. If it became something that spread throughout the state, you know, if all of a sudden...
This wasn't that organized.
But I mean...
It wasn't national it wasn't statewide protest day.
Right.
It was, you know, a local group. They probably got people from the region to come to this. It's fucking stupid.
But if, I mean, all little protests, people hope that it'll catch fire.
No,
you know?
because you just saw like the little kids like staring in.
Well,
and the high school kids just fucking laughing at them. That's fucking stupid. And then, I mean, what do you got? My daughter videoed it. All right. I heard a roll, Joe, above me, and I thought it was thunder, but it's just my gimpy wife kneeling on her little knee thing.
On her little mobility scooter.
Yeah, her mobility scooter. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
I just went... What little kid do you have running like thunder through your house? What's going on?
So I live in.
I'll tell you right before the show, the wind is howling, the rain is going like a siren is in the background. It's, it was like the beginning of a Black Sabbath album.
I love that song, man.
So I happen to live in a household with two female high achievers.
Yes.
So my daughter was just named for next year, junior year, first chair for second violin. So it's first violin that plays one part.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So and she, you know, she's a high achiever. And my wife, so they have something in this in her company. She's a sales engineer. So when they're trying to sell the product, the software product, for mainframes. My wife does a lot of analysis, does testing on it, tells them what it can work on, not work on, this, that, the other. She's integral for this product. And there's sales engineers throughout the company in all different products. My wife's the only one for this particular product. All sorts of sales engineers. And, you know, she's been kicking ass in this. So you get a quota.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a certain amount if you make this much of your quota, then X amount if you get this amount, blah, 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 onward and upward. So she made 150% of her quota last year.
Wow.
So and in my wife's company, they have something called the President's Club when they meet at Mar-a-Lago. No. They have something called
It's gonna be great. You know, I hear you don't like me, you say things about me.
Stop selling things.
Your wife can say you have to go.
Well, Trump would like this because the President's Club is for salespeople. That's something Donald Trump can appreciate. Good sales.
Sure.
So it's for the salespeople. So my wife's boss's boss didn't think it was right that sales engineers were not included. This is the highest achievers. So they get a trip to the President's Club. They've gone to Aruba in the past. This year it's a Waldorf Astoria in Arizona, like a really nice resort.
Nice.
They reward the highest achieving salespeople.
Okay.
And my wife's boss's boss was upset that they didn't get the sales engineers. And he's been pushing for it. Well, this year, it turns out my wife achieved the most quota out of all the sales engineers in the company. It's an international company. They just keep on buying fucking companies and companies. I think they bought Pitney Bowes like a while back.
Whoa.
Yeah, they just keep on like buying and buying and buying shit. So my wife is the top sales engineer, as it turns out. So my wife is invited to the President's Club. She's the only sales engineer, and it's because her boss's boss fought for her.
Good.
So now we're going to Arizona in April. I'll be missing a radio show to this resort. Here's the thing. Here's why I bring it up. I don't bring it up to gloat on their behalf. I bring it up to them. So now I am the arm charm. I am the side candy with a bunch of salespeople. Is this really the best look for me? Is this a role I can play off well?
Can you?
I don't know. I don't enjoy the company of comedians usually.
It's the boss now.
It's a booker, but I'm doing this right now. I don't enjoy the company of comedians that are always on.
Yeah.
Joe's not always on. This is what I like about Joe.
Right.
Joe's mind is always working.
Right, but he's not always telling joke after joke.
No. Joe picks his spots to be particularly nasty. It's funny. I stop. I laugh. I move on. It's not like a constant, I'm on. His mind is going.
There are some guys that will just drive you nuts.
Yeah.
There are people like that are not comedians, and they act like that.
Yes.
They're always on.
Yes, there are, Pip.
My friend's husband is like that, and he was doing open mics. And so
now he's a comedian.
He started telling people that he's a stand-up now.
Of course he is,
because he was doing open mics, and that he would be up there for like a half an hour. And I thought, the most dreadful open mic ever. He routinely does this apparently, and I was like, oh, the pains.
Is he funny at least?
Not to me.
No, how about to other people?
I have a family friend that I have to travel with sometimes that'll just tell these jokes and trying to be funny, and it's like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's brutal to be with people that are just...
I can't take it.
I
envision most of these salespeople will be like that.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
salespeople are a lot
bit.
Of fun.
Yeah,
salespeople are a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of them are always in sales mode.
Yeah,
as you think you would have to be to some level to achieve this President's Club.
Yeah,
I mean these are high performing individuals,
and they're amongst others, so it'll spark that.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. So will I be able to contain the snark, the eye roll, the bite, the really?
You'll have to.
You're gonna have to.
I know, but I know what I have to do.
Do these coworkers, these people are gonna meet, know that you're a comic?
Joe, come on. You know that always comes out. You know it always comes out.
So what do you do?
You gotta tell them don't make mention of it. You know, I work from home. I sell insurance. But you know, don't tell them you're a comic, because then. You know, people tell me I'm funny too. Jesus Christ. And you got to sit there and take it.
I think a lot of them in my wife's office, because remember, they're coming from all over the world, or at least all over the country. But I think a lot of the ones that know my wife would probably know. I mean, some of the people from her office have come and seen me.
Right.
I don't know if these are salespeople per se.
Tell me the entertainment's a comedian.
Oh, I don't know. I don't.
I'll tell you, one time I went to a... There was a meeting that I had with this company. Our salesmen set this meeting up, and I'm trying to get them to buy the line that I sell during the day and stuff like that. So we sit down in the meeting, we exchange business cards, and the guy I'm with goes, you know, Joe's a comedian, stuff like that, and I wanted to strangle him because he fucked everything up for me, because now it's like I'm a clown or something like that, you know? I am so far from this world. I'm in total business mode. It's a good company. I want to see if we can try to get in with them and stuff like that. I'm in full-blown business meeting mode. Joe's a comedian. I guess. Did you say that?
Yeah. People don't know when to pick their moment. There's some people that just blurt and they don't understand. It's like, no, like there's a story that I tell around Thanksgiving that, you know, it's like at family gatherings or, you know, like friends when, you know, we're sitting around. And so there's a punchline to it.
Really? So it's different than your other stories?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. But there's an obvious punchline to it. And we have a friend that we, you know, he used to be in a band with Mr. Helix. And we, you know, went over to their house a couple times. And, I mean, you know, God bless him. The guy really enjoyed this story. He thought it was really funny. And he wanted me to share it with other people. But he would always say, tell him the story about, and then he would say the punchline.
Oh.
So it was kind of like, now you want me to tell them a story that they already know
This goes back to what we were talking about earlier, which is why you always got to switch things around. See, if you're constantly working and writing and tooling things, you got alternate punchlines here. But you are married to the way this has to be delivered, the rhythm of the story.
Yes,
if you will.
I am. So, I am married to the rhythm of that story.
But that sucks. Like, sometimes you do when you're acting, like somebody will yell out the punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like, dude, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
So we got that to look forward to. So my wife was just having like the dandiest time trying to fucking find airfare for it. It's like, got to leave really early. Because that night, the night before, I'm working both nights that weekend. So we're leaving on a Sunday. The night before, I'm 5 hours away.
Oh.
And I'm driving home. I just put Joe on a different turnaround with me. He's going to crash at my house afterwards. I told him, I'm going to wake up early and play ball. You wake up when you want to wake up. I'll put something on the barbecue. Go swim and have a fucking day. I don't give a shit.
Did you know that you were going to be brought back to the house?
No, this is a different day. Yeah, I invited him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're not gonna cut him up.
I thought you were being kidnapped, Joe. Looking out for
you. Who would kidnap him? Who wants to deal with that?
Hey, you know, there are people that would pay ransom.
I don't know any.
I don't know.
I don't know.
So I got these high achievers. All right. So over the break, I picked up a last-minute gig. It was in a hotel room for three people.
Was one of them last name Epstein? What's going on?
It was actually pretty good. It was actually a lot of fun.
Oh, really?
It was. I always psych myself out for these. I'm like, this is going to be awful. What am I doing? Because I got shit I got to pay for. That's why I'm doing this.
I have a really long driveway that needs plowing.
So it was a birthday celebration, if you could call three people and me a celebration, for the woman who hired me's lesbian friend.
Okay.
So she tells me, because I don't really didn't tell me much, but she's like, she's a lesbian. You'll know by looking at her. That's what she tells me.
Terrifying. So what does that mean?
I open my show and I say this. I say, you know, I don't really know much about you, but your friend said that you look like a lesbian. I said, I don't know what that means, but I kind of expected you to be face down in a woman's lap. And away we went.
Sure bet.
So that was fun. That was fun.
She introduces by putting a V up to her mouth. Yeah. Hi.
So this Saturday, I have a show for over 300 people in a firehouse to raise money for trails, like trails that you can walk on and a bicycle on.
Must have been a fun gig.
Yeah, it's a shame you couldn't make it. Yeah, there was a snafu. Joe was supposed to be on that, but there was a miscommunication, not between me and Joe, between the booker and I.
Oh,
so unfortunately, but I'll get Joe on another one. Actually, I did. I just put Joe on something. Anyway, so I asked the bartender for a bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have bottled water. Okay, how about a fountain diet soda? I mean, bottled water is pretty standard fare, but I don't want the tap water. I go, how about a fountain diet soda? And I tell her I'm one of the comics, because, you know, that's one of the few perks we usually get.
Yeah. Like, at least throw me a soda, you bitch.
Yeah. Well, the head bartender doesn't want to throw me the soda.
Why?
Well, because it's not a firehouse event.
Right.
I guess, but okay. She works for the fire. But again, it's a fucking soda. And the reason you have over 300 people is because there's entertainment and I'm the fucking part of the entertainment. I'm the fucking headlining entertainment.
Yeah.
So she goes, you could be lying. I go, lying about a comic in Western PA in a firehouse for a diet soda? Who would lie about that? You know, the old story on this show was, you know, we talked about, you know, I bust Joe's balls where somebody's like calling the radio show pretending to be Joe, Opie and Anthony show, pretending to be Joe. And go, who would want to pretend to be you? Worse than that, who would want to pretend to be me in this situation for a diet soda?
It's like, lady, I was by Philly and got thirsty and made a hard right because I heard that there was free soda pop here.
Really?
It is the most ridiculous thing.
What? Did you see that there's a poster? Did the guy on it look anything like this?
Well, what I'm thinking is when I hit the stage, she's probably thinking, well, this guy will do anything for a diet soda. The charade continues.
He's committed, you know?
So old me would have argued. I've been banned over breakfast buffets.
Right?
I've been banned over loud luggage. Old me would have argued. I just said, okay. Whatever.
Yeah. At that point, oh my God.
I'll make it up, and I made up for it in cake. I had more than one piece. You're going to screw me on the soda. I'm going to get you on the cake.
Ha ha. Like every employee in America does.
Exactly.
Because if we don't feel appreciated, we are going to steal your binder clips.
Yeah.
Word.
So there's over 300 people, and I decide I'm going to work on, it's got to be PG-13, so I'm going to go clean on this. And I'm trying to put together some for a corporate tape and maybe a TV set, trying to put these things together. So I do probably 50, 55 minutes, whatever the hell I did, over 300 people. Show goes off great.
Great.
So we're standing outside selling the merch, shaking the glad hand, long line of people walking by saying how much they enjoyed the show.
Right.
As it happens. So this woman walking by goes, I didn't like the Jesus joke. I did not like the Jesus joke. How do you think your pal handled that?
Bully for you. I mean,
all right. What do you say, Joe?
How did the crowd? Oh, she said it after the show.
After the show to me. Well, after there's a long line of people saying how much they enjoyed the show.
Well, if you were me, I would have questioned her and given three examples why.
So without skipping a beat, I didn't like the Jesus jokes. I go, that's okay. I'm not taking a survey.
Good.
That, I don't think she liked that answer.
Probably not.
No, she like, made her face. I think she's like grumbling. Like, and he's like, she might have even said, you should change it. Why? But
I'm not taking a survey.
A couple things here. Joe's worked with me plenty of times. Pip has seen me plenty of times.
This weekend.
Except, well, this week. They made a move. You know, who's to say if it was good or bad? Pip has seen me plenty of times, not in the past couple of years, but she has a feel of what I do. What in my act or persona on stage gives people the idea that I give a fuck about their opinion after the show? I'm trying to find, what vibe am I giving off?
Quite the opposite vibe, actually. So I don't know what got up under her drawers and made her think, oh, you know what? I'm going to step to this particular individual and critique him.
Joe, am I giving off said vibe?
Yeah, you know, like a porcupine.
Yeah. No. She clearly was not listening until something offended her and decided, oh, I'm going to go talk to him. She wasn't paying any attention.
And also, the Jesus jokes worked really well that night. I mean, really good, loud laughs. So again, like, so not only does she think I give a shit, but she thinks everybody else is wrong and that she's going to share the, and this is going to end well. Like, does she think, well, you know what? Maybe I need to rethink everything.
No.
Well, she's just saying you're giving her opinion. It's a person like that that goes to, like, if it's at a club and says, well, I'm offended, I don't want to come back. And the club go, oh, okay, lady, and now it's your problem. It's like in some instances like that, it's like, what's the most popular food you serve in the club? Chicken fingers. Okay, if some one person doesn't like chicken fingers, do you take it off the menu? No, you don't.
Well, if you're a comedy club owner, you might. But I...
Well, this kind of reminds me of the day job. And we have...
No, dear. We call it a program.
The day program.
Yes.
The day program where for a particular department, they send out surveys. And this one guy got clobbered. You know, so it's 1 out of 100. And, of course, the suits expect that we're going to, you know, anything on each question, anything less than 10 means that we fail.
Ugh.
So now it's like, so you expect that on every situation we're going to get 100. You know, and they have a number that each person in that department is supposed to shoot for and that they get, you know, the talking to if they don't get that. Well, one guy who I think does particularly well had one son of a bitch who gave him a 6 out of 100. Now, anybody who ever took a statistics class, I didn't, but anybody who took a statistics class would say that's an anomaly and you would throw that out. You wouldn't put that into the result because clearly that is going to skew it unfairly. So this guy went from like the upper 90s to 50.
How many people are they serving? That makes no sense.
If they're serving
a bunch of people, like that shouldn't even register.
They only get a small amount of people to return the surveys because it's a faulty survey, honestly, and it takes too much time, yada yada. But they count.
I hear the wife be rolling above.
I know. It's like we don't like the survey either. Please do not punish us, Lord.
She's going to drag herself down here to empathize.
I know. It's kind of corporate nonsense, but
sounds like it.
Yeah, it is. It is. The whole situation is from top to bottom. But now they're going to punish this guy and the whole department.
They're going to punish him?
Well, they're going to, like, they have. Now they're talking to him and giving a drubbing over. Now we're going to have to
go over the whole
interaction with this one moron.
I've noticed there's less of this, but there used to be a prevalence of comment cards in comedy clubs. I've noticed less of these, and I used to read them. And then, you'd feel good about yourself, and then you'd read the comment cards, and you'd question everything.
Yeah.
Now I fight the urge. You know why? Because you're morons. I don't know how many times I could tell you, not the good ones, but you morons, you don't know who you are, but we know who you are.
Well, see, every time one of these morons that me...
By the way, moron, terrible name, more off. But to continue, you are more off.
You're more often off than on. Me and my coworker... We have to note what happens in all circumstances in every interaction with a customer. So when they start turning, we put down what kind of assholery we have to put up with on the phone with them and in person so that when something like this happens, we can say to the higher-ups, look at what an asshole they were from start to finish.
That's why
do you think it's totally his fault?
That's why I used to video my shows, not because I wanted to look at it back, for evidentiary purposes.
Yeah.
Like I understand these people look at me, a lot of them, as a dancing monkey. Fair enough. But if I'm a dancing monkey, I'm the type that I might occasionally rip off a human face.
I like that.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, I flat out, honestly, in the act, because I'm working on this whole contractor thing, and I talk about, you know, a lot of times people ask you why. When I started, I got asked, why did I get into comedy? And I said, to make people laugh.
Yeah.
I said, now, many years later, why am I here tonight? To pay for a backsplash. I mean, I'm flat out telling you.
Here it is. This is what I'm doing. I mean, I flat out told my boss, I'm here because I need health insurance.
Yeah. But people say stupid shit, and comics are part of the problem here, because too many comics will entertain this. And I used to actually. I can only think of the one time where I entertained it during my show, and the woman was nice. I could tell that she tightened up, and I inquired. She didn't say anything to me. I inquired to her because I read her body language.
Right.
She wasn't trying to make a spectacle. She wasn't being an asshole. And we had a very nice give and take, and she was on board by the end of it, by the middle of whatever and everything. But she didn't stop me. I've told the story years ago. I'm doing this club outside of D.C. I'm headlining. Good show. Blah, blah, blah. I had a joke about diabetes in the act. A woman goes up to me. You know, I didn't like that diabetes joke. My husband has diabetes. Go, that's okay. I got it, too. Let's share a needle. I don't got diabetes. But what are they going to say to it? What are they going to say to that? Because I'm not entertaining it. And I told this story a couple of months ago after one of my shows. A woman goes up to me after. Again, it was a good set. She goes, that joke wasn't funny. I go, no, yeah, it was. No, it was. I go, yes, it was. If I told it, it's funny.
If I told it, it's funny.
I'm not entertaining the shit anymore. And too many comics entertain it. No. If you've been doing this as long as Joe and I have, and you have at least any awareness, you know when it's a good night, when it's a mad night, when it's a bad night. Yeah. You know when it's you.
That's what I was saying before, like when I was on Ann's show yesterday. A couple of people said, so I'm like, no, I had a good segment yesterday. I thought I did very well. So same with doing a stand-up. If you come off stage, you know, and if you're a great set, no, it wasn't. But if you know you had a great set, you know, it's like, well, you just said, no, I had a good set. I know I did.
Forget about what I know. There's a line of over 300 people that said that they had a great time, laughed so hard. And you're going to, I didn't like the Jesus joke. All right, well, he's not a fan of yours either. Get to stepping, stupid.
It's become ridiculous. Like you guys were saying, if, you know, there's one person that doesn't like fish sticks and they serve them in the place or chicken strips or whatever, and one person doesn't like it, you ban them for everybody? No, that's not how life is supposed to work.
Yeah, you throw it off the menu because one person doesn't like it?
Right.
When, you know, when 250 patrons love them?
Right.
I don't know.
No, it's like you're going to have to suck it up, Buttercup. You are not the style maven here.
Not only
tell everybody what to do.
Not only do you keep fish sticks on the menu, you make the comic pay for said fish sticks.
Double down.
Comics do not get free fish sticks.
One of the best comments I ever got doing the meet and greet is there was these nice African-American ladies that were there, and they walk by and they go, you sound like an angry black woman. I go, that's one of the nicest compliments I've ever got.
That's funny.
That's code for lib.
Yeah, and he took it well.
He took it well. Joe's a lib. Now, before I went up quickly, then we'll take a break. So there's the intermission, and the opening act had a joke about Uber. And so this guy comes up to us. We don't know. He's just an audience member. Goes, oh, yeah. There's an intermission, so I got to go up after this. He goes, yeah, last week, a woman with four small children was shot in the back of the head in an Uber. I'm like, why are you saying this now? I have to go up and be funny. What is wrong with you?
So now Uber is permanently off the table as a joke?
Like, he wasn't mad about it or anything.
No,
it was just
but
like,
it's like,
what's wrong? Why would you shout? I even said, I go, dude, what is wrong with you? We have to do a comedy show, and you're telling them what a horrible story.
You know what? There are school shootings. You're not allowed to talk about your school days, because if you talk about school, it'll remind me people of dead children. Yeah, that's a logical leap. That's
people are nuts.
Yeah.
People are nuts.
No, it's ridiculous. You know, it's kind of like, you know, look, I know from crazy, and my mom used to think that, you know, because she had schizophrenia, she thought that people were talking about her or people would say something and it was code for something else. And it's like, you can't tell me that if she wandered alone away from her family who was going to walk behind her spinning their finger behind her head to tell people she's nuts, so don't listen. You know, if she wandered into a store and said, you have to fire that cash right here because she talks about me, and they would go, you're right, Stacy, you're done. Because
I've seen it happen in our industry.
Yeah, but if one person did that, because they could be just as fucking nuts as my mother was.
Yeah. But in our line of work, the comic's always wrong. Because they know we're nuts.
Yep.
But yeah. But just as a comic, all I'm saying, comics, if you listen, stop entertaining it. Yeah. You have a sense of humor. Use it to cut these people off at the knees so they feel worse about themselves. This is our gift. God wants you to use the God-given gift that you do. You'd be insulting God if you did not cut these people down at the knees when they say stupid shit. They're
Well, it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show. Not that I make it my life's work, but if I got the time and somebody says, well, this, that, no, and here's the reason why.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't do that. I just fucking dismiss them.
Can I tell you guys just a really quick thing about something that I did?
I don't know. Can you?
Yeah. I was in the parking lot of this local
business. And it's time for break.
Have a good night. Stop it.
Go on.
Tell your story.
And I'm kind of still getting used to my car because I'm used to a manual transmission, and automatic cars just drive differently, especially like they're zippier. And when you hit the brake, they really like really hit hard. It's stomping. So I'm still getting used to it. And this parking lot has a stop sign that is on a pole, but it's halfway down, and my car is now much higher, so I forgot it was there, and I was zooming up to there to make a turn to get into the road. I was thinking about what I was going to do. I forgot that there's a parking lot to the left, and somebody might be coming out of it.
Where were you driving through? Oompa-loompa land? How small is this stop sign?
It's much shorter than me. It's like
it's a
half
baby.
My height.
It's a baby stop. It's a pause.
It's
the littlest one.
It's quite bizarre.
One day I want to be a stop sign. Right now I'm a yield.
It is. It's a legitimate stop sign, but it's on a pole that is like half normal height.
You know, little signs have feelings too, Pip.
I know, and I called a mini sign, and it was bad.
And it was bad. a sign blows past Pip. That was wrong of you to call it a mini sign. How dare you?
So I like rush up to that sign, and then like
I hope you apologized.
Well, I immediately realized, I'm sorry, midget. I'm so sorry. And I no, there was a guy coming up on the left. I'm supposed to stop in this parking lot. Totally forgot that I'm supposed to stop there, and he's roaring up. So he gets – it was a really nice day, so I had the windows down. Everybody did. And I
– Windwood was blasting through the parking lot. People were falling asleep behind the wheel.
That's why we almost had an accident. So I realize that – oh, that was a stupid move. But the guy yells at me. He goes, oh, could you drive any faster? And before I even thought about what my answer should be, I immediately went to asshole mode. I went, oh, relax. And then he goes, well, you asshole. And I'm like, fuck you. Even though it's my fault.
Yeah, I mean, when you're full, you kind of have to give the wave.
And I did.
You kind of have. You're the asshole.
Now,
if you were really the way to answer, can you go any faster?
Yeah.
Not over relax. You go yes, and then you hit the gas. That's how you handle that.
There was one day this lady misunderstood me. Remember my old van, my old white van?
All the children do, Joe. I said all the children do.
Yes, they do. Andy running around. But I'm backing up, and this woman goes, your backup light is out. And I go, oh, thank you. I beg your pardon. I said, thank you. Oh.
See, even strangers can't believe he's pleasant.
I know. I should have said... my bad, or something like that.
Now give the wave. When you're the asshole, you got to give the wave.
I know.
But you know what? When you're in the car, you feel a little tummy. Ah, fuck you. I'm the only one who can drive like an asshole here. Wave the birds around.
And I don't usually behave like that, but I was just all full of giant car and
see what,
velocity.
See what happens when we take a week off? You have no place to expel that type of energy.
I have no place to be an asshole. Yeah. So I took it out on this poor guy who was completely right. And then I drove up behind him, and I'm like, oh, man, I suck. But this animal came out of me.
You're very dangerous. All right.
Apparently.
Very good. On the break, we got new music from Alina with Hole Again and Weekend Recovery with It's Obvious. You can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. When we come back, we'll do some Turbulent Air, and we'll tell you what message on a mask got somebody removed from a flight. And we got stuff about Neo, Right Said Fred, Iron Maiden.